Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and DebEvansConsulting.com.
Well, hi there. It is the eve of 4th of July, and this is Deb Evans coming to you live from, actually, Stagecoach, Texas. I usually say Houston, but I'm outside of Houston in Stagecoach, Texas. And my sidekick, AK Stout, has family in, and she's over at some 4th of July festivities in Towson. So I have invited, actually, Shelley Roth, who is the whole record holder of number of archives of a Social Geek radio show. Shelley, how are you tonight?
Wow, you always make me feel so good. I'm so glad I got to be your co-host this evening.
I'm thrilled to have you. So this is actually your third time with us?
It is, and this time I get to just kind of sit back and...
Oh, no, I never let anybody sit back. So it's your third time to be on the show live, but the real record that you hold that is so impressive to me, and I know I've told you this before, that I actually called Blog Talk Radio several times, and I had the IT people looking into it because I was like, oh, my God, I think we have a virus because I'm getting all these downloads in these archives, and I don't know what's happening, and I've hit 100,000, and we're going to hit 200,000, and they checked it, and they said, it's all okay. It's like, seriously? And it was your last show, your last episode that you did with us when we talked about your book.
Yeah, Setting the Sales Shark. I guess people want to hear about not being a sales shark on social media. Yeah, that's fantastic. I love it. I need to put that somewhere on my stuff.
You do. I'll give you a little clip up or snippet from so you can actually see it. Like, I'm not making it up. It's really real. So thank you. I'm so glad you're going to be my sidekick and co-host tonight as we talk with James Buckley, who's with Valpak. And I'm going to have to ask you, James, do you prefer James or do you usually go by Jim?
Yeah, the only time I get called James is my mother is irritated with me. So Jim is fine.
We'll go with Jim. Okay. I'm so glad to have you on tonight. It's we met sort of kind of in person in real life during Frame Camp, like with the wave, you were in the rooms, and but we've talked virtually a lot online and, of course, on the phone. And I love what you're doing in the whole social sphere. Here's what I'm doing now with you, Jim. When I get up in the morning, I'm that geek that checks all the social. You know, I look at the phone and I'm looking at my tweets and Facebook messages and everything. But I will tell you that what I've started doing lately is just going to your page. It's just, let me see what Jim has tweeted in the last 2 days, because you're my new online newspaper.
Well, thank you very much for that. I try to be worthwhile, and now I know that Deb Evans likes me, so I'm golden.
Well, it's like I don't have to go to all these other sites. I just go see what you've shared, and then I get caught up in reading the articles and the posts and things that you've shared. It's like, thank you very much for, you know, giving me my daily dose of social.
And it's interesting that you describe it that way, because one of the things that one of the roles that's just kind of evolved for me, both at Valpak and just in generally kind of how I use social, is I'm a huge reader, and I've always been a kind of a reader. I taught history when I graduated from college, and so I was always interested in kind of collecting information and displaying it and producing it in a certain way. And so when I started using Twitter, one of the big things that always overwhelmed me was just the sheer volume of information. And so what I have kind of done is I've limited kind of my own diet, if you will, to a batch of people that I follow, and then created a couple of lists, and then it's consistent. So I granted, you know, you're kind of stuck. I think you probably read about Eli Pearsall's theory of kind of filter bubbles, where we're kind of stuck in a circumstance where data we look at and information we look at is kind of filtered by who we're following. But at the same time, it allows me to kind of cover a fairly broad set of kind of people every single day. And then what that allows me to do is really curate that content out to other people. And it also helps, you know, that I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day and spend a couple hours doing that and gets me, you know, really gets me ready for my day. And I'm glad that other people, you know, find value from that.
Yeah. So, Shelley, we're lucky that we live in the Central Time Zone, at least I think we are, because, you know, Jim is East Coast, and he just mentioned, you know, being up at 4, which I normally get up at 5:30 or 6. So he's up, and he's done all the hard work for me that when I'm ready to sit down with my coffee out on the patio, you and I know you were out on your patio the other day. We were messaging about the cool weather. Isn't it grand that we've got people on the East Coast that are curating for us?
I love it. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting here trying to find Jim on Twitter so I can go look at your tweets while I'm on the show here. What's your Twitter, Jim?
I was going to say, Jim, why don't you give us your platforms now so that people can check it out?
Yeah, so my Twitter handle is JerBuckley68. So, in fact, my big news on Twitter today is I got my 5,000th follower at 7:30. So that was pretty
cool. That is very cool.
But the other thing I would tell you I do, and I do this, and Deb, we can kind of talk about that however you want, but one of the platforms that I use that's made it significantly easier for me to kind of operate this way is Flipboard. And so what I have done is I've basically set up a series of tiles, one for each of kind of key people that I follow. So one of them happens to be a guy I kind of follow fanatically, which kind of feels a little like stalking occasionally, and his name is Hillel Fold. And Hillel is he's the senior evangelist for a company called Interactive in Tel Aviv, Israel, and he is really probably considered to be the top technology blogger in Israel. And so just like you guys have the advantage of having, you know, me an hour ahead of you on the East Coast, Hillel's several hours ahead of me in Israel. And so I've got him. I've got another guy named Tim Hughes that I follow pretty fanatically in London. And so as a result of that, what ends up happening is that, you know, I've kind of got this batch of people, another guy, Air Hafnick in Tamil Nadu, India. And so you just kind of work your way around. You get different views of how people look at things. You get a different kind of cultural take on how people are kind of looking at technology. And the nice part for me is, I've been very fortunate in that the platform itself, you know, Twitter specifically, is very conducive to what I love to think and talk about, and that's technology.
Cool. Now, can you give us the handles again of the two folks that you just mentioned?
So I'll actually make it kind of really easy for people. So if you go to my Twitter account and you look inside my lists, I've got a list in there. That's called Tops in Technology. There's 220 people in there. And if you look inside that list on my Twitter account, that's actually an Air Kapnick's actually right in there. He tweeted like 3 minutes ago. And so if you look at these folks, these are people who's kind of sitting in there. And this will be kind of different for different people as they look at this. But, you know, people like Peg Fitzpatrick, Jim Dorey, and then other people that, you know, people have obviously heard of, guys like Guy Kawasaki, Kathy Cruz, who happens to be a big blogger who talks about automotive. So it's a kind of a broad cross-section of people, but it also gives me the ability, by filtering it all through Flipboard, it gives me the ability to kind of look at it in a way that makes it easier to handle than it would be otherwise.
Very good. I love Twitter lists. I know that now I use an iPhone, and my app is Echo Phone. But you're in my list. You know, you're in my one of my lists. So that's what exactly what I do in the morning when I open up Twitter. Instead of just reading all the feeds, I go right to my list and I'll say, okay, here's my technology list. Here's my education list. I want to see what's going on in the franchising. Here's my franchising list. So I am definitely going to go poke around your tops and technology list. And actually, I think what I can do is just follow that whole list, can I?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the other, you know, the other nice part about it. And I continue to add people to that list all the time. I mean, there's not, there's really probably not a day that goes by where I don't, you know, kind of run across somebody else that I think is worth, you know, kind of dropping into that list. And then they automatically update into Flipboard. And I try to follow people that are pretty consistent in terms of their tweeting. You know, there's some folks that have kind of different approaches to who they follow, and I try to follow people who, you know, as you alluded to, really kind of act as my curators, right? I mean, who are finding interesting content. And then the other thing I look for is people who are interested in interacting, you know, who are willing to retweet my stuff, who will, you know, have a conversation with you, et cetera. And I think, you know, guys like Ted Rubin are another great example of that. Here's a guy with 165,000 followers who I have yet to find somebody who follows him who hasn't had at least one interaction with him, and I'm not entirely certain how he's doing it, but he does.
You know, that's so funny you mentioned that, because we mentioned him once in a few shows ago, and AK and I both were tweeting, and darn, he responded. And I think it was Dave Delaney that I had on the show that knows Ted Rubin, and said, I asked him, I said, so do you think, is it Ted or is it someone tweeting for me? He said, oh, no, he controls his own account.
Oh, I actually can verify that he does that, because he and I had a car. I'd love him to share some Florida, obviously. And so he had just had a new photograph that he had posted. This is last Saturday. It was early in the morning. He was on Long Island. I, you know, made a comment about Sarasota. He said, oh, I love the beaches. And then sent me a picture that he'd taken the day, you know, put a picture up and tagged me on it from the day before. So there's no way, right? There's no way a robot does that.
Right.
And I think more and more, you know, there's a few people who are kind of are public robots, meaning that Guy Kawasaki, for instance, makes no qualms about the fact that there are certain times of day that you're looking at kind of a repeat of his feed, and he has no problems with that. But I think it's becoming less common for people who are seriously engaged on Twitter to use robots, because it doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, those of us who are kind of using it on an ongoing basis for business or for, you know, just for engagement purposes,
mm-hmm.
can kind of sniff those out relatively quickly.
Well, and Guy spoke at IFA a few years ago, and he openly told us, too, that he has several people that are tweeting for him.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
and he also makes a point of repeating the same Facebook post or tweet several times a day just because of the various audiences. And I didn't realize he had robots doing that. But speaking of diet, though, I'm anxious to talk about this diet. So how much time do you spend on Twitter, Jim, and what part of your diet is this? Is this dessert, or would you say this is the healthy fruits and vegetables section?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So here's the part that I always laugh about. So my job, I mean, I'm effectively Valpak's digital evangelist, and so there are most days when, you know, my bosses are thrilled to hear this, that I can't believe they actually pay me to do this for a living, right? So my whole interaction on social is really kind of the dessert, right? I'm the skinny kid that everybody hates, because I can have dessert all day long and I don't get fat, right? So I think one of the interesting things about kind of how much time this takes is, once I built a system, this used to take a lot longer, but there's a real level of efficiency now. So I spend the most I ever spend, and that's on a day, usually some days. And Deb, I think we talked about this on Twitter the other day, I think it was Sunday, right? Wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
There was just a huge volume for whatever reason. Kind of everybody was finding cool stuff, and there was a lot of volume. And so, to answer your question, you know, on a day like that, it might be a couple of hours. But that includes Twitter, and then I run a group for Valpak on LinkedIn. So I do what I call sub-curation. So I take the 25 or 30 things that I think were kind of worth it on Twitter, and then kind of cut those down to 5 to 8 things per day that I put on LinkedIn, and then I have a batch of stuff that goes specifically on Google+. And so that entire process in a normal morning takes, you know, 1 hour to 1 hour and 20 minutes. And then the other thing I will do sometimes is if there are articles that I think kind of our teams inside Valpak need to look at, or partners that we have that I find an article, I do a lot of email traffic as it relates to that. But all told, kind of soup to nuts, it's probably a total of 90 minutes in the morning that kind of sets the tone for the day. And then I kind of tweet off and on over the course of the day. I typically kind of don't do big posting on LinkedIn or Google+ after kind of that first batch of content. And, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, theories and all kinds of articles about there about when should you tweet and what time's the best, et cetera. This seems to work out pretty well for me. I've got a lot of kind of engagement from people in Europe, and one guy who consistently retweets me is a guy who happens to live in Frankfurt, Germany. But the timing is good, right? Because my stuff goes up about 10 o'clock in the morning local time in Frankfurt, and that works out great for them.
So you have one of the jobs that you are blessed to be able to do that as part of your job. I mean, I'm sure Deb would agree, having my own business, and Deb, I'm sure you'd agree, it's, mm-hmm. You know, I have to very, very be very conscious of the time I invest with my social media diet, or I would just be on Facebook all day long just gorging on those Oreo cookies over there. So I have I just love, though, the social media diet. It just really got me thinking about where I spend my time. And very cool.
And and on that note, I think the other part of it is that, you know, I mentioned a few minutes ago that it's evolved over time. And I think the other part has what it has come down to is having the list, and then specifically on Flipboard, I've got tiles for individual people. So O'Malley, for instance, is one of my tiles, or Jeffrey Hazlett, Jeffrey was a former chief marketing officer at Kodak, he's now in Bloomberg. He's fabulous. Hazlett, you know, consistently puts up really thoughtful stuff. And so as a result of that, my diet is kind of driven by making sure I'm following quality people. So the question, right, the question you asked earlier, is it dessert or is it, you know, kind of the protein? I mean, the big part is that I've made an effort to follow people and actively interact with people who kind of are the meat and potatoes, if you will, of my media diet. And I'm like everybody else, right? I've got a graphical quote that I put up on Facebook every day. I love kind of spending, you know, 15 or 20 minutes with that, but I try to kind of save that for after. I really see, to answer the question you posed earlier, I see kind of my Facebook interactions. Even though I interact with a lot of people I work with on Facebook, I still try to kind of save that for, you know, okay, I've wrapped up all this, the serious stuff. Now let's go over and see, you know, who's posting pictures, in my case, like of their chihuahuas, right?
Yeah, you mentioned Hazlett, and it's funny because I follow him too, and I've talked, I've met him, I've seen him speak, I think, 2 or 3 times now, and his daughter is his PR person, Lindsay, and mm-hmm. I know that Jeffrey does the tweeting himself. I think Lindsay throws some tweets out there, but he's another one that you wonder, all the people that follow him, and you throw a tweet out there, and he responds to you personally. It's just like, and I'm still trying to get him on Social Geek Radio. If he settles down, I'd love to have him on.
Well,
but it's amazing.
I met him in 2010. He spoke at, we have an annual convention called Coupon University, and I had to mm-hmm. go before him, which was, I'm still So, of course, and you've seen him, Deb. I mean, the guy is absolutely amazing in person. The interesting thing about it is he is glued to his phone, and this was in 2010. Mm-hmm. And so there's photographs he'll post when he has people take pictures with their phones of him when they're set up for Bloomberg or whatever. And the big thing is he's always got his phone in his hand. And that I think, is how he handles it, is he basically does it all by mobile. But again, you know, that's why people like folks like me talk about them and want to interact with them, because, you know, the folks that you retweet their stuff consistently, or you reach out to them consistently and try to get feedback and you don't get anything, eventually you just kind of run out of gas with people like that. They're not, you know, those the really big players on social media. And I have 5,000 followers, so I, of course, I'm going to say this. But from my perspective, it's not sheer physical volume of kind of people that are following you. It's the level of engagement that you have with those people. And I'm a big fan of, it's called social media for a reason, right? It's supposed to be social. This isn't just a broadcast platform. And from my perspective, those are the kinds of people, you know, that I want to interact with on all of the platforms, not just.
Well, it's always about the quality and not the quantity, and that's sometimes hard to stress to people because, you know, they think it's a quantity, and I'd rather have many less followers or connections that I know and interact with that are valued than just a bunch of people to have numbers going, so.
So now, and we were talking about platforms earlier, you know, Google Plus and Twitter and Facebook. So, Jim, is part of your diet, do you believe that there are a certain number of platforms that you should be just totally focused on? Do you go very wide? Do you, you know, or do you stay drilled in and just say, okay, these are my top three? How do you handle that?
And so I tried, I'll answer the question by telling you I tried Pinterest and failed. I think, you know, again, for me, it's, you know, kind of in order, Twitter, Google Plus, LinkedIn, Facebook. Those are really the four primary platforms that I operate on. I have found for me personally that trying to operate more than four platforms is just doesn't work for me. That's kind of a personal choice. But I think my argument, and we make this argument to our clients, is that, look, at the end of the day, having a presence on a platform is not valuable if you're not going to do anything with it. If you say, oh, yeah, I've got a Twitter handle, but I'm not doing anything, well, you might as well not be on that platform at all. And so even though I've got a Pinterest page, I haven't posted anything on there in a long time because I don't feel – that I do a job that makes it valuable for people to follow me. And so I wouldn't say I've abandoned the platform, mainly because part of my responsibility for what I do for a day job is to help kind of, you know, guide our team and our teams of Alpac to make sure that they understand these various platforms. So, for instance, I use Path, which I really like. But it's also very limited kind of, and I don't know how familiar you guys are. I'm sure intimately familiar with it, Path is, the interesting thing about Path is that it's a limited social platform. So you can only have 50 friends. So the thing about Path, right, is it's much more intimate. You're sharing kind of, there's a function in it, right, where you kind of announce that you're awake, for instance. Okay, that's not something I'm necessarily going to put anywhere else. But it's tied in. I'm training for the Miami Marathon in February, and so it's tied in to my Nike Plus training account, for instance. So there's certain things like that where I'm using a platform kind of on the side. But to directly answer your question, Deb, I really have focused primarily on those four platforms.
Okay. And Shelley, what are your thoughts? Because I've heard you use that term before about going – not going wide.
Well, me personally, of course, I do a lot of training, so I have to be on top of the social platforms I train on. And my two big platforms I stay on top of are LinkedIn and Facebook. Where I spend the bulk of my marketing time, however, is on Facebook, my business page on Facebook. I have a Pinterest account, and when I see a great infographic, I share that. So Pinterest, to me, is pretty easy to share 2-3 infographics a week. And honestly, I outsource my LinkedIn posts, content posts, just to keep it current. I find LinkedIn, I think it's a great platform to help grow a business, being on groups, et cetera. But for me, Facebook just is a lot more fun. It's a lot more social, if you will, than the atmosphere on LinkedIn. So I say go deep on one. I tell my clients, because most of them don't have the budget that Valpak has to have specialists. So
right.
Pick one to go deep on, but go wide on all of them as far as having at least having your presence and claiming your name, business name, and personal name.
So for a lot of our audience will be that small business owner, somebody that's just getting started as a new franchisor or a franchisee or a local business owner. What tips, and Jim, I'll start with you, you know, what tips do you have to start that media diet, you know, that presence? What's the beginning?
Yeah, so there's kind of two answers I'd give you to the question. So if I'm, and this is advice we give our clients, but if you're a small, medium business in this country and you're looking to kind of start on social media, we absolutely encourage people to start with Google+. Because Google+ is going to have the largest, we believe, the largest long-term search impact of any of the platforms. Twitter has its own place, et cetera, but from that perspective, if you're kind of actively engaged on Google+ and you're, for instance, trying to create a niche for yourself where you're an expert, for instance, let's say you own a pool company and you want people to come to you because you're an expert in all things having to do with taking care of swimming pools, there's no better place than to kind of stake your claim as it relates to that on Google+. In terms of the diet part of this, you know, what I tell people is the best place you can go is to create your own lists and search for topics on Twitter. You know, it's going to take you a period of time. It certainly took me a period of time to kind of sort out the wheat from the chaff. But in terms of kind of getting information, I encourage, you know, you to start with Twitter. But in terms of kind of getting engaged and kind of finding something that has an appreciable impact on your small and medium business, Google+ is absolutely the best place to start.
Cool. And Shelley, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I have a Google+ business page and profile as well, and I'm not very active, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it's one of the reasons I didn't even mention YouTube. I spend a good bit of my time making sure that my YouTube videos are posted every week. I do a weekly video tip on social media, and I make sure they go across all the platforms. So, but yeah, YouTube, Google+, owned by Google, absolutely is going to help your SEO in the long term. So I totally agree with that statement by Jim. Start on Google+.
Of course, I just tweeted it and said, sorry, Twitter. Oh, well. Good. Very good. So trying to think of, I had some questions rolling around, but I'm sitting here tweeting and trying to multitask. Where's AK? She's the Twitter holic. What other tips can you give us, Jim, as far as, you know, so let's walk through your day again. You know, you said you spend the first 90 minutes or so on Twitter. You're curating, you're reading, getting the information. But what about blogs? Are you actually, you're a writer, so I can tell by your tweets. And I forgot to mention this too. So Shelley and Jim, you both have something in common. You're former educators. Jim, you don't know this, but Shelley used to be a school principal. So you've got that background.
She was
your boss. I see it in both of your writing, that education format. So tell us about your writing experience. Do you have a book? Are you writing blogs? Are you writing white papers?
Yeah, so I do. I publish a blog called The Intersection, and I also publish some internal things for people that are specifically designed to kind of draw attention for a particular team, right? So our national team, for instance, we have 12 folks that sell national advertising for Valpak, and one of the things they struggle with is, you know, kind of what's the latest and greatest news in technology. They're off selling. They don't have, you know, the time to be able to kind of wade through this. So I kind of curate that content. So one of the pieces that I enjoy the most is once a week I write a piece called Three Links from the Week That Was Plus One More. So I'm a fanatical follower of Mitch Joel. I was actually fortunate enough he gave me I got a preview copy of his latest book, which is Control Alt Delete.
Control Alt Delete.
Amazing. Yeah. So if you haven't read this book, it's just the great part about the book is the first half of the book is about your business, the second half of the book is about your life, and the title is just perfect, which is basically all about, you know, what we used to call the three-finger salute, which is, you know, reboot your computer. And this particular guy really kind of got me interested in kind of getting out there and trying to figure out, you know, what is it that I have to say, right? So I've got 15 or 20 bloggers that I follow, Jim Doherty being one of them, and he's actually on my he's on my list inside Twitter. And what's interesting about Jim is that Jim is focused, his mission is to help people who are new bloggers or up-and-coming bloggers find a voice online. And that's his, that's kind of his stated mission, and he does a fantastic job of it. And so I kind of use him as my discovery point. And then once I find somebody that I really like, I just subscribe to that blog. And so that's really where I use kind of, that's where my email habit comes in. I think we all have one of these, right, where we've got, you know, a stack of 25 or 30 emails that, that contain great writing. And so I've just kind of, it's just kind of evolved over time. I really enjoy doing it, mainly because it also helps me kind of distill some of the thoughts I have about, you know, okay, where's marketing going to go? Where is technology going to go for small and medium business? What's going to happen with, you know, Google Glass and things like that? So I've enjoyed that a lot, but it also helps me to kind of create, again, it's another curation point where that weekly piece, if you've ignored me all week, you know, and you work at Outback, here's your opportunity. Read one piece from me, and I will tell you basically the top three or four things that you should have seen that week.
So that newsletter that comes out, you have, it faithfully comes out, what is it, Monday morning?
It depends. That is one thing I've worked diligently on that I'm not very good at, which is blogging consistently. So sometimes it'll come out on Saturday. Sometimes it'll come out on Monday. I've had times when I've been traveling, it doesn't come out till Tuesday. But I try to get it out kind of on the weekend so that people have an opportunity to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
okay, now, Shelley,
I just signed up for your email.
Now,
Shelley, your blog.
With
yes.
The blog. And yes. I know, you know, with your background, you've got experience here. So what are your tips?
Hello?
Are you still with us?
Yep. I didn't hear what you said. I kind of lost you.
What tips do you have as far as blogging or sending out that weekly email, newsletter blast or newsletter?
Well, I think the whole thing with email marketing, well, this is email, not a blog, although I do make it into a video blog. Why not? It's called repurpose, repurpose, repurpose. And if you're going to have the content and you're going to send it out, why not use it and share it as many places as you might have people that want to hear from you and want to learn from you? So mine is every Friday at 6:30, my video tipster newsletter goes out. Now, if you think I'm sitting in front of my computer at 6:30 doing a video to share, you're gravely mistaken. So I tend to assure that I create 3 and 4 in a batch when I'm feeling creative and feeling like sharing information so that I never come from a position of, oh my gosh, I have to do this, it's Friday, because coming from have to versus want to is a big difference in the energy that you put out there. So that's how I do it. And I think everybody should, if you're going to do something, somewhat be consistent, because people want to hear from you. They kind of get used to hearing from you and being consistent with it.
Okay, so then I have a question for both of you. So we've got the radio show going on now. And what I like to do is, you know that I'm, and both of you have been retweeting it, so I try to do some live tweeting. I'll take the tweets and put it in a Storify, so then I've got the Storify that I can share. But then I've also been taking some of the content and then curating it, I guess you'd call it, or converting it into my weekly newsletter. Is that too much, or am I, and this is all new for me, this many platforms, am I tapping into audiences that wouldn't normally see me on another platform? So, I mean, I think my newsletter I know is going to a group of folks that do not tweet, and that haven't listened to the radio show, so they're catching it in the newsletter. But I'm afraid that I've got a few folks that are subscribed. They're the ones who subscribe. They subscribe to my newsletter. They're tweeting. They see it on Facebook, and they possibly are listening to the show. Is that too much?
So, Jim, you want to tackle that one?
So here's my feeling on this. Absolutely not. It's not too much. I mean, I think one of the things that we do, and this is the advertising guy in me, you know, we talk about multiple platforms all the time. You're going to hit some of those people multiple times. So let's take I'll use a personal example. So I subscribe to everything Mitch Joel does. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Mitch Joel and Hillel Fold. I mean, I follow Hillel on Path. So, you know, I basically know when he gets up in the morning. I follow all of his stuff. He does all kinds of cool stuff all day long. I also subscribe to both of the blogs he writes for. He writes for Huffington Post and a bunch of other stuff. I may see that content, to your point, Deb, in three or four other places, but I'm always going to miss something. Right, I basically follow a number of these people kind of what I would call fanatically, and yet I still will run across something from Mark Schaefer and go, oh my God, that's fantastic, I didn't see it. So my feeling is, and I kind of follow my own version of this, which is I will, if I write something that I really like that I got engagement from, I'll put it out there two or three times. In fact, the review I wrote for Mitch's book, I've probably tweeted that since I wrote it in March, I don't know, 20 times, and it continues to get kind of click through and activity. So my feeling is if you got great stuff, which Deb, in your case, you do, you know, my feeling is, you know, you can overdo it eventually, but in terms of kind of putting stuff out there and giving people multiple opportunities to interact with you, I just don't think it can be too much.
Phew.
I totally agree with that. I mean, you don't know who's watching when, where, you know, and anybody that's a fan, a true fan of you and wants to hear from you, they understand you're repurposing the content, I believe. And like Jim said, I mean, especially if you admire somebody and that's why you're wanting to hear from them, I don't think so. It's not like you're resending it six times a day on Facebook on your, you know,
right.
You're sending it through different mediums that different people may or may not be on.
Yay. Good. And it,
well, at least that's, and this is what we call the most dangerous, right? This is the infamous, in this case, survey of two. So
this is
true. Keith Mailer, who runs research at Valpak, would be basically beating me with a stick right now to claim that was a, you know, any kind of a scientific survey.
But, you know, I think common sense does tell us, and as I said, I do know that some of my subscribers to my newsletter were thrilled to subscribe because they say, I don't listen to your show, I'm sorry, and I don't catch it, and I'm not on Twitter, so I don't see that. So it's like, okay, well, then I want to catch you. I want that audience. So, but it's adding another social platform for me, and I feel like I'm talking to myself or repeating myself all the time. It's like, okay, where did I just post that? Oh yes, it was my blog. Oh yes, it was on Social Geek Radio. So like, I tend to talk to myself anyway.
I found two new ones I started posting on SlideShare. I'd never even considered putting my videos on SlideShare. It's like, well, there's a whole different audience. All of a sudden, I'm getting 60, 70, 80 more views that I probably didn't have on YouTube or wherever. So,
and you can put your video. Yeah, you have been putting your videos on SlideShare because I'm one of those too. I've subscribed to both of you anywhere you are. I've subscribed.
And so, how do you feel about that when you see my videos in three different places? We're going to talk about
sometimes it's that third one that says, "Oh, that's right. I wanted to act on that." And it's, you know, you see it the first time and you go, "Great idea," and then I've lost it. You know, fell in the back of my mind somewhere, and then second time it's like, oh yeah, and then sometimes it's the third time it's like, oh yes, now I need to act on it. So yeah, I'm fine with it. But I also walk with my phone when I do my charity miles walk and reply to emails and do tweets, and so I'm a multitasker. So very good. So, Shelley, what else? See, we've got a few more minutes here. We pick Jim's brain or the three of us, what else? What do we need to know?
I'm just fascinated. I wish Jim like had a spreadsheet and I could enter all the stuff and it would come out with you're 500 calories over where you need to be, and you give so many caloric points to Facebook or YouTube or. I love it. I just would like to see it go to the next level with your, I know in your blog you have the steps there. Where do you start? Step one, step two. But it'd be kind of fun to have an app that you could feed in all of your different time and where you spend it, and it spits out whether you have a healthy diet or your diet needs to be a little bit less on this or that.
I would tell you, there's probably kind of a manual for this, and I'm actually two-thirds of the way through a really fantastic book called The 12-Week Year. And so I'm a fanatical kind of goal setter and planner, and so I'm always looking for kind of new systems to add. And so this particular one talks about chunking. And so one of the things that I'm looking at is actually kind of physically setting aside time and then kind of keeping track of, okay, what exactly did I do? Because there are days, of course, there are days when I get up and go, really? Do you really want to spend the next hour reading all this? No, I think I'm going to lay back down. That's usually Saturday morning. I'm always kind of interested in what kind of how other people react to it. And so it's interesting to talk to the two of you about this because, you kind of develop your own system and you wonder, we kind of joke about it. With other people, but you always kind of wonder, okay, is this some sort of, kind of odd disease that I have? And I think a lot of people struggle with this. I mean, I certainly did. I've been on Twitter pretty much, I think, for 4 years now. And when I first started, it just consumed my life. I had times where I'd sit there for 3 or 4 hours trying to figure out, okay, what do I want to read and how does this make sense? I think the key part of this, is organization, is figuring out an organizational structure. Just like you wouldn't stack 1,000 pages of paper on your desk, you put them into file folders. The platform, every single one of these platforms has kind of additional systems that allow you to keep track of these pieces of content in a very effective fashion. And so, yes, I'm interested if anybody's listening to this and is a programmer, I'd be happy to talk to you about an app, which apparently I've at least got two people who are willing to buy, that keeps track of your caloric intake on social media.
I love it. I think it'd be so cool.
I picture Shelley, so when AK comes back, I picture us needing a shock collar, really. I mean, something that says, stop that now. You've got too many platforms, too many windows open. Stop it. Go away.
I hear you.
I'm, as Jim said, and you mentioned it earlier, you just get sucked into that. Yeah. I know now I've got my routine at the morning. So, if anyone's stalking me, they'll know, okay, she gets her coffee at 5:30. She's let the dogs out. The sun's coming up. She's sitting outside listening to the birds and reading all Jim's stuff and, don't put too much out there, Jim, because you're going to stretch my morning out because I haven't gotten through all of it so that I can get out there and do my charity miles walk with my app.
No pressure here about me falling ill and not doing it one morning because, of course, Deb Evans is going to out me on Twitter.
I would be concerned, and AK will be able to tell you this too, that because she's online so much that when she's not, I'm sending direct messages and saying, are you okay? Are you doing a training? Is everything all right? And it's that mom part of me. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's fine. You can take a break, but please, only a couple of days because I need my fix. Oh, good. All right. Well, we are coming up, and I see I'm getting reminders that we're coming up to the Geek It Out segment. Let's go back to both of you. And, Jim, I'll start with you. Let's share some of your social platform profiles again so that folks know where to find you.
So my Twitter profile is at JR Buckley 68, and that's primarily kind of you know, that's the main place to see my stuff. And then my blog is buckontech, buckontech.blogspot.com.
Very good. And Shelley, before I forget, share yours as well.
Okay. The easiest way to find my social media platforms is shelleyroth.com. That's shelleyroth.com. That'll take you to all the links to Facebook, YouTube, etc. And James, I love your picture on LinkedIn. It's just awesome.
It is a good picture, isn't it? Good.
Yeah,
so,
well, it helps to have a professional photographer.
Yes, it does.
And he does look like that, Shelley. So
handsome. I can tell he's an athlete.
Thank you, ladies. And I can also tell you that the harassment was vicious and long over the sweater.
The pink sweater? I love it.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Not, and just to be clear, Brooks Brothers did not make pink. It is Red Heather.
Okay.
That's the story I'm telling, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, and I have to tell you, let me see. So, Jim, I was looking around, poking around on YouTube, and I saw that you have a YouTube account. And just skimming through it, it's like, did he just like or subscribe to a YouTube video about sweaters? So I just saw that today, so I get the whole thing.
That's probably another radio show.
Oh, we could do that. All right. So we'll have you back. So feel free to hang with us, but we're going to move into the Geek It Out. I certainly have a Geek It Out song here I need to play. Okay, I hate the way that song ends. So I'm going to have to re-record it because it just stops. But the first site that I have that AK shared with me to share with our audience tonight, it ties into our topic of the social media and the communities that we were talking about. So the site is hoop.la, so it's hoop.la, or it's, of course, your www.hoop.la, and it's allows you to create your own online communities. So don't be concerned, Shelley, if you go to the site and you get a pop-up right away because they have live chats that go on. And when I was poking around in that earlier today, right away Heather or Lisa or somebody popped up and said, "Can I help you?" So I started chatting with her. It's like, "Oh, no, I'm just poking around your site because..."
I don't
like
when that happens. That totally turns me off.
I know it does a lot of people, and usually you can minimize it. So you can minimize it and get rid of it. But if you're there, don't. That's why I told you about it. See, I know you,
I'm
Shelley.
On there, yeah. If she pops up, then I get scared. Thank you.
But I take advantage of it. So I just right away said, "I don't think I need help, but tell me more about your site, because I, you know, if you can tell me and I don't have to poke around your site, it's great." Then we started tweeting back and forth. So they liked me, I liked them. You know, so it just, I had a sales call today, a random sales call on the phone trying to sell me something. And I was like, no, thanks. But here's what you can do for me. Why don't you go to facebook.com/Deb Evans Consulting and like my page?
There you go.
I throw it back. So anyway, I have not created an account, but if you look around, it looks like one more social platform that you could create if you wanted to have your own forums and your blogs and your photos. So anybody that's looking to create their community, there's a site for you.
Cool.
Yeah, it's different. So the next one I have is scrollkit.com, and I swear I think we've been here before, but I'm not sure. It's S-C-R-O LLKIT.com. And looking around this site, it's we were talking earlier about the content. It's a content editor. So it allows you to, in your own page, create content with what looks like very visual content.
So, I'm on there right now. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, poking around on that. So let me start checking my clock. What's the other one AK sent to me? I've got another one here. This one, oh, this is an app. And I know Dana Lopez from Phoenix, Arizona is listening. This one is called, I think you'd say Viggle, VIGGLE.com. So if you watch a lot of TV, VIGGLE.com. I don't do Get Glue. I think I have a Get Glue account, but I've ignored it. I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but it looks like Viggles, to me, looks like it could be very similar to the Get Glue, to where you watch TV. But what it looks like is that if you've got this downloaded on your tablet or your phone, I think it can, not sense, but it sees what you're watching. And you check in, and then you earn points.
This sounds like Foursquare for TV. You basically
there you go. I didn't think about
checking
it that
into
way.
The TV show, and you're earning points. And very. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I don't know how these people come up with one more platform to consider.
Yeah, I don't know. So
you know, the younger crowd loves this kind of stuff. They love earning. Yeah. Rewards for the actions they're taking. So this looks like it could be a good one.
It could be. So, Jim, you're still with this, aren't you?
Yeah.
I don't know if he muted. Okay. So do you do Get Glue? Do you have the Get Glue or anything, those type of apps?
I downloaded that. My problem is I'm the king of the time shifters. So I don't ever watch anything really in real time. So on television.
Yeah.
So it, for me, it's kind of right. I get it. And, of course, you know, we're owned by Cox Enterprises, so we own a push TV station, so it's a big TV's a big deal for us, right? But I think it's a superb way to for folks to kind of engage with live television. But in my particular case, I don't watch enough live TV for it to make sense for me.
Yeah, I don't either. We tend to TiVo things. So, like, you know, one of my favorite shows is MasterChef, which comes on just before Social Geek Radio. I don't have time to watch it, so we TiVo it. And then, you know, my husband and I will sit down and watch the whole thing when we're done. But so those of you that want to watch live TV, Viggle is one of them. So the last site that I have that AK so graciously shared with me is called, I'll just spell it, it's reachli.com. Reachli.com. And from what I can tell, it says you can create and share engaging posts for the world to see. So it looks like another platform that you can work within. What caught my eye, it says you can discover trending content and get post suggestions. Reach more people with a single click. So I did not get a free account yet. I tend to not jump on there and get the accounts until I'm ready to check it out and see what this is about. But I don't know, have either one of you heard of this?
Yeah, I think I've used it. Spell it again, Reachli?
Reachli, reachli.com.
Okay. Yeah, I maybe a year or two ago, I remember checking this out, especially because it gave suggestions for posts. I found that interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, this could be the one that used to be Penly. It might have been a former site. So, but those are the Geek It Out sites. Let me just check in my chat box to see if anybody has one. No, but they're geeking that they do love to get glue and that they send you stickers. Oh, I forgot about the stickers. Do either one of you have a geeky site that you might like to share before we close the show up? Nope.
No, nothing for me.
Nothing for you?
Actually, I found one today, and I'm trying to find it again for you. Let's just see real quick. I'm going to click this and tell it to you. It's called LearnItLive.com. I just stumbled on this today because I use GoToMeeting. But
uh-huh.
LearnItLive looks like you can post educational host webinars, charge for them. And I guess it was very difficult to find their business model, but I believe they take a percentage of. But have some emails out to them to learn how this works. Because if it saves me money over GoToMeeting, it might be a good way to host meetings, record them, and share them.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, learnitlive.com.
I see it. Yeah. I'm spending time looking at it. Very good. I like it. Well, thank you. Very good. Okay. Well, that's it that we have for Social Geek Radio tonight. Thank you both again a lot for joining me. And looking forward to having AK back next week. And for the audience and then for you, Jim and Shelley, my guest next week is Dave Delaney. He, too, has been on the show, I think, two times. So this might be his third one. But he has a new book out, Networking. I'm trying to find it sitting here on my desk somewhere. But I was talking more about in real life networking and how he does it online. He's out of Nashville, Tennessee. And Dave Delaney does the Nashville Pod Camp. So he runs that a lot. So looking forward to having Dave back on. I think we'll go live next Tuesday with Dave. And you guys have a really safe 4th of July. Thank you.
Thanks, Deb, for having me. Nice to meet
Thank
you,
Jim.
Thanks for having me, ladies.
Okay. Good night, guys.
All right. Good night.
Don't show me.